enjoyed that singing. Y'all did a wonderful job. I'm going to break my form, and I'm not going to preach a Christmas message tonight. Me and Pastor Daniel, I guess, swapped roles today. So if you came for a Christmas message, you can leave now. No, I'm just kidding. I had a Christmas series, and we still may get on it. But it was talking about the different names of Jesus that he's called at Christmas time. And one of them was Emmanuel. And I never could get any peace about it. And now I know why. Because God had laid it on Pastor Daniel's heart. And this is where God has put me tonight. So I'm excited to open God's word with you. Be in Psalm chapter number 46. Psalm chapter 46. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Psalm number 46, verses 1 through 3. And when you find your place in reverence to God's holy word, please stand. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That means stop and think about that. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight I want to preach on the thought, what now? What now? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I know I'm undeserving to stand behind this sacred desk, but you and your grace have given me this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to rightly divide your word. And I know, Lord, your word tells me that if it's rightly divided, it will not return void. So, Lord, I'm just trusting you tonight as you help me to rightly divide it, that you will do your work in hearts and in mine as well, I pray. And, Lord, once again, if there be anybody here that does not know you, don't let them leave tonight without getting things right with you. For all this in Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you for standing. So, as we think about the thought, what now, what kind of brought this thought to my mind? And I actually got this thought the day after election night. And I'm not going to go into politics at all. But that is one thing where a lot of believers, if things are to go in the direction it looks like they're going to go, everybody may be asking themselves, what now? What are we as Christians to do now? Or another thought that came to my mind as I was preparing this message, when troubles come in our lives for believers, especially maybe those that are living for God, they're giving God their very best, they're doing all they can for Him, and yet trouble seems to never leave their side, and they just go through trouble after trouble after trouble, kind of like Job did in the Old Testament. And the question they may ask is, what now? And I want to answer that question. What are we as believers to do when trouble comes? When things don't go our way? What now? And I want to answer that tonight. The short answer is we must remember some things. We've got to remember a few things when troubles come, or we'll fall flat on our face and we'll dishonor God. Or if we remember some things and we cling to the holy word of God, we can stand firm in this world that we live in and be a light for the Lord that He wants us to be. See, sometimes God allows His people to go through troubles so that they can be an example to those in the lost world that do not know Jesus. Because the lost world, they don't know how to handle things. I cannot imagine going through the troubles of this life without Jesus. So many times when I go to a funeral, maybe to a funeral of someone that we don't know if they were saved, or we know that they weren't saved, and their family, most of their family is not saved, I'm thinking, how in the world? I can't fathom how to go through that without God. And sometimes God lets us as believers go through hard times so they can see us handle it the godly way. And then they can say, hey, how in the world did you handle that? How did you stay joy-filled? How did you stay on your feet? How did you continue to honor God? And you can tell them about Jesus. See, that's the ultimate goal. And that's what we want to do. I don't know about you, but when trouble strikes me with the help of God, I want to stand for God. I want to be the example that He has called me to be. So what now? We've got to remember some things, and we see those things in our text here, and specifically in verse number 1. The first thing we must remember we must remember that God is our refuge. Now, let me back up before we dig in a little further. Now, when I'm talking about is our, in each point, I'm referring to those that are saved by the grace of God. These verses do not apply to you if you're not a child of God. So many times, the lost world, people that maybe they're not Christians, but they read the Bible, maybe they go to church, and they'll claim verses like this for themselves. But those verses do not apply to you if you do not know Jesus. The first step is there must be a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then, praise God, these verses can apply to you. And we as believers, that in times of trouble, we must cling to the Scriptures. When I've had hard times, I can feel the devil trying to turn my mind from the Word of God, because he knows that is where I will find peace, I will find comfort, I will find joy. So this Scripture we have before us tonight is for children of God. If you don't know Jesus before you leave tonight, maybe you're watching online or you're in the parking lot or in the building, if you don't know Jesus, don't leave tonight without making things right. Because like I said earlier, I have no idea how the lost world goes through things without him. But you can. You can leave here knowing him and this Scripture applying to you. So the first thing we must remember is we must remember God is our refuge. The Bible says in verse number 1, God is our refuge. Pretty simple. That was a hard point for me to make there. I had to really dig to find those words. But God is our refuge. That word refuge means shelter, protection, fortress from rain or storm or danger. God is our protection. God, he can be our refuge if we let him. And turn with me to Numbers chapter 35, please. We're going to look in Numbers as God laid out, as he was dividing up the land in the Old Testament, he wanted to make sure that there were some cities of refuge. And this, the cities of refuge we see in Numbers chapter number 35, and it's not on the thing, Brother Chris, just so you know. We're going to turn there. We're gonna get those pages that are stuck together. We're gonna break them apart, and we're gonna read the Bible. But here we see some cities of refuge, which is a beautiful picture of what God is to us as His children. This thought's been on my heart for a very long time, and I guess I was gonna find it in a message somewhere, and it just kind of went well with this one. So Numbers 35. I'm gonna begin reading in verse number 9. As we look at the cities of refuge, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities ye shall have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." Now we'll jump down to verse number 22. So the city of refuge is, in this text, for those who accidentally killed somebody, and they would run to the city of refuge to find safety until they could be put in a court of law and found not guilty of murder. And then in verses 16 through 21, I'm not going to read them, but it talks about if you're a murderer, the city of refuge isn't for you. But verse number 22 says, "But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil." And we'll look at that again in a minute. "But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. So there's a couple things I want to point out in the passage that we have before us here. I want to point out first that as we think about God is our refuge, and He is our city of refuge. But what we've got to do for Him to be our refuge is we've got to run to the city of refuge, right? This person who had accidentally killed somebody, the city of refuge did him no good unless he ran to the city of refuge. We see in verse number 11, it says, "Then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares." So for this city to protect this person, they had to run to this city of refuge. And you and I, as children of God, if we want God to be our refuge in times of trouble, we've got to run to Him. We've got to seek Him. But I thank God, if we seek Him, it's not a one-way thing. I thank God, if we seek Him, He will also seek us. The Bible says in James 4:8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And I want to point out that first part. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. See, this isn't a one-way thing. It isn't me here and God here, and as I draw nigh to Him, I'm actually drawing nearer to Him, right? As I draw nigh to Him, He's drawing near to me. But what this scripture is saying is, as I draw near to Him, He's moving to me. See, if I take one step, He takes one step. So there's two steps. If you'll run to God when you're in times of trouble, like Pastor Daniel said this morning, He will run to you. I thank God for that. He wants to protect us. He wants to help us. He wants to be our refuge. But we've got to run to Him. We've got to turn to Him. We've got to prepare our hearts in such a way that when troubles come, we will turn to God. As we see in the Old Testament so much, those kings that were close to God, that were near God, that loved God and were serving God, what happened when trouble struck? They immediately turned to prayer. And that's why if we want God to be our refuge in times of trouble, that's got to be us. We've got to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. And we'll talk about that here in a few moments. But God is our refuge. But we must run to this refuge. And I thank God, if we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. He's just waiting, just like that man, the father of the prodigal son, Pastor Daniel talked about this morning. Yes, the prodigal son was coming home, but the father ran to the son. And it's the same thing for you and me. If we'll turn to Him, He'll run to us. If we'll just turn to Him. So we must run to this refuge, but also we must remain in this refuge. Now, I'm not saying that we've got to maintain our salvation. I'm just saying if we want God to be our refuge, we've got to stay close to Him. We've got to stay near Him. Look what the Bible says in verses 26 through 28 of Numbers 35. The Bible says, "But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return to the land of his possession." So we see there that even somebody who is not guilty of murder, if they left the city of refuge, it was okay if the avenger of blood, those that were seeking to kill him, killed him because he left the bounds of the city of refuge. See, if we want God to be our refuge, we've got to stay close to Him. Do you think that He's going to protect us and be our refuge if we're not drawing near to Him in prayer every day and reading His Word and trying to keep our sin list short and serving Him? You think somebody that's living in rebellion and not loving God and serving God, do you think He's going to want to protect them? No. He's not going to. He wants to, but we've got to, as we see here in this text, stay in the city. Stay near God. Or like Brother John Van Gelderen said, stay in the basket. We've got to stay in the basket if we want God to be our refuge. But I thank God He will be. And I want to point out one more thing before we go to the next point. So it is a, we must run to this refuge and we must remain in this refuge. But I see, we see here in this text that this person could stay in that city and be under its protection as long as the high priest was alive. See, but at that time, the high priest would eventually die. But I thank God my high priest will never die. My high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of the Father and will never die. And if you'll run to that city of refuge, you can stay there forever and forever. He wants to protect us, help us be our refuge forever. I thank God he's never going to die, so we can remain there. See, he never leaves us. If anything, we leave him. We get out of that city. We get away from him sometimes. And we've got to repent and draw near once again. But I thank God for that truth, that he is our refuge. In times of trouble, when you ask yourselves, what now? Number one, we've got to remember God is our refuge. But number two, we see in the text that God is our resource. Look what the Bible says. That's not in Numbers anymore. Psalm 46:1 again. God is our refuge and strength. That word strength there means might, ability, power, spiritually, and really physically. God is our ability. God is our power. We can do nothing apart from him. The Bible says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Not some things, nothing. We can do nothing apart from God. He is not only our refuge, but he is our resource, our strength. As we think about him as our strength, I want to point out that we must study to understand our resource. We must study to understand our resource. We have got a great arsenal at our disposal as children of God. But if we don't study the Word of God and know the Word of God, that resource is absolutely no good to us. And that is one thing, this past revival that we were a part of, it was probably one of the greatest revivals I've ever been a part of. And I've been in some good ones. And I've been in some revivals where there was great emotion and people were moved and tears were shed and hands were raised and shouts were all over the building and all over the room, and it was great. But a couple weeks later, it would fizzle out. You know why? It was based on emotion, maybe even good emotion and legitimate emotion, but it was just clinging to emotion and not the truth of the Scriptures. See, this past revival, Brother John, I mean, there wasn't much amening and shouting and screaming and crying, but the truth of God's Word was preached to you and me. And we were shown the power that we have in God through the Holy Spirit. We were shown what our arsenal is. And that way, when we study it, we know what we have access to, and we know how to use it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to get in God's Word if we want God to empower us. The Holy Spirit wants to help us, empower us, use us. But if we don't know how to use our tools, per se, then they're no good to us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'll stop there for a second. And for those people that may be listening or watching or thinking that this is referring to the whole Bible. This principle applies to all of Scripture. But some people today think that the Old Testament is outdated and is of no use to us as a whole today. But that is not true. When this was written by Paul, he was referring to the Old Testament. At that point, all Scripture to him was the Old Testament. So every word in this blessed book that we have before us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally means God breathed from the mouth of God. Men penned it, but God breathed it through them, through their personalities. He gave us the word we have before us today. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. See, that word doctrine there is, that's just Christian truth. See, but we think that, well, that's just what Christians know. That's what I believe. That's what I stand on. No, that doctrine is how we know how to live the Christian life. When we learn of God, when we learn of the Holy Spirit, and we learn of how they can help us and empower us and work through us if we'll let them, the Word of God is how we learn those things. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. See, the Word of God tells us when we're wrong. It tells me that a lot. That's why a lot of people don't like to get in it, because it will. You get in the Word of God, it will point out things wrong with your life, as it should. Because we're not perfect, but it is holy and pure and righteous. And if we want to live up to God's standard, it's going to point out some things and we're going to have to get rid of them. For reproof, for correction, I thank God the Word of God doesn't tell us where we're wrong, but it also tells us how to fix it. I thank God for that. And we've got to remember as Christians, as we're witnessing to people, we've got to be careful, yes, to tell people where they're wrong, that they're sinners, that they're on their way to hell, but the Word of God doesn't stop there. Remember, it tells us we're wrong, we're sinners, we're on our way to hell, but Jesus died so that we don't have to go there. We tell people where they're wrong, but we tell them how to fix it, because the Bible tells us that. For reproof, for correction, so it tells us how to fix it. For instruction in righteousness, so it tells us how to live a righteous life. Then it says in verse number 17 that the man of God, woman of God, any child of God may be perfect. That means complete. That means whole. That means you not only have access to the tools, but you know how to use them. See, we've got all kinds of tools. There's a lot of tools at my home that they look pretty cool. Carrie's dad gave them to me, but I have absolutely no idea how to use them. But I got them in the Jeep. And I feel cool carrying them around, but I don't know how to use them. They ain't doing me no good, are they? We not only need to know what tools we have, but we need to know how to use them. And the Word of God shows us that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. See, if we want to use what God has given us to serve Him, we're going to have to get in the Word of God and study it. And that will show us what we have access to by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we can be complete. We can have all the tools we need. And we can know how to use them to serve God. And man, we would be lethal as children of God. God could use us in a special way. But that's why so many believers today, they hit a stalemate in their Christian life. Yes, they've been saved, but they're not studying the Scriptures. They may even know of things that we have access to that God wants to use us to do, but we don't know how to use them because we're not getting in the Word. Me and Pastor Daniel preaching to you the Word of God is not enough Scripture for you as a believer to make it through the week. It's not. Now, God has laid things on our hearts that we believe can help you and help us and speak to our hearts and better equip us to serve Him. But you need, and I need, outside of this church on a daily basis to get in the Word of God for ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but if I just ate one meal a day or two meals a day, and two meals on Sunday and one on Wednesday, I'd be a lot skinnier than I am right now. I'll tell you that right now. See, but so many believers are, they're skinny as a rail spiritually because we're not feasting on the Word of God. If we want God to use us, if we want to have access and know how to use this resource, we've got to study to understand it. But not only do we need to study to understand it, but we've got to surrender to unleash it. It's not enough to know what it is and how to use it, but we've got to surrender our will to God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine. That means be not controlled by wine. Or you can put anything there. We don't need to be controlled by anything of the world today. We don't need to let it control us. But instead, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit. We need to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. How does He control us? Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, we can't do it in ourselves, but through Him we can. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice it doesn't say, there He's going to take it. He said He wants us to present it. He wants us to bring it to Him, offer it to Him, lay it on the altar of our lives and give it to the Lord. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or rational service. The Lord literally gave His life for us, and the reasonable thing for us to do would be for us to give our lives to Him. And we've got to do this every day. We've got to surrender to His will every single day. We've got to say, not my will, but thine be done, as Jesus said. If we want to unleash the resource that we have, which is the Holy Spirit in us, He wants to do great things in our lives, greater than we can ever imagine. But we have got to surrender our will to His. And we see in verse number 2 of Romans 12, we see the studying of the Word. When the studying of the Word comes into union with the surrender of the heart, look what happens. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So if you will surrender your will to God and you will study the Word of God, it will literally transform you into what God wants you to be. He will show you what His will is for your life. He will guide you and help you and empower you. But you've got to surrender. I've got to surrender. We've got to surrender to unleash the resource. So we see tonight, we've got to remember God is our refuge. We've got to remember God is our resource. And then also we've got to remember that God is our reliable helper. I thank God for that. There's a lot of people today that would let me down. That they might not be as reliable as I would like them to be, but God is and will always be. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 46 again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So as we look at Him as our reliable helper, I want to point out first, He is our proven help. God has proven Himself time and time and time again. If you're a child of God, you know that. And maybe you have forgotten that at this time. That is why we get in the Scriptures. We see God be faithful to His Word time and time and time again in the Word of God. But so many times I've been there, and I've heard of many believers that getting there, we in times of trouble, we kind of forget the Word of God. We don't get in the Word of God. We're not speaking to God as we should, and we forget God is faithful. That's why we need to get in the Word of God before trouble strikes. Because if we're unprepared and trouble hits, it's game over. We will fail and fall flat on our face because we did not prepare ourselves beforehand. Just as a home that is in the line of a hurricane, if that homeowner waits until the hurricane is there to board up the home will be destroyed. But if that home is prepared and boarded up before the storm hits, it will stand, I believe. God has proven Himself to us. And maybe you're here tonight and you've forgotten that, or you're listening online, or you're in the parking lot and you've forgotten that. Get in the Word of God. Page after page, you'll see He's faithful. He's a proven help. He has His track record is flawless. But not only is God our proven help, but I thank God He is our punctual help. Look what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That doesn't mean that He will get there quickly. That means He's already there. You know that when trouble strikes, God's there. It's not that He's going to be there after you get there, but He's there waiting for you. God is a very present help. He's always there. The Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He wants to be our refuge in that time of trouble and struggle. It's not that He was going to be there. He was there. He's there waiting on us. But once again, God will not force Himself on anyone. But He's waiting and raring to draw nigh to you as you draw nigh to Him. He's our punctual help. I thank God for that. Remember that. And once again, we remember that by getting in the Word of God. He's our proven help and our punctual help. So we've got to remember tonight, when trouble strikes and we ask, what now? God is our refuge. We've got to remember God is our resource and God is our reliable helper. And if we'll remember these things, specifically, we need to remember them before the time of trouble. If we've not prepared our hearts, we won't remember these things. But if we remember these things, I thank God, finally, then I'll be done. The result we see in verses 2 through 3. The Bible says, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." It says, though the worst thing, the end of the world may come, but if we remember these things and we cling to God and we cling to His Word, none of that will make us afraid. We will have Number one, serenity. We will have peace in the midst of storms. We shouldn't have it in the world's eyes, but we can. Even in the midst of a storm, if we'll cling to God and His Word. The Bible says, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." Why? Because he trusteth in Thee. You trust in God. No matter what you go through, He'll keep you in perfect peace. No matter what. And the world doesn't understand that. That is why we can be an example during that time. So not only is there serenity, but there is stability. We will be able to stand firm for God in that time if we remember these things. A very familiar passage, Matthew 7:24-27. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," uh-oh, the Word of God is involved again. You want stability, the Word of God is the key. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." It was founded upon the Word of God. It was founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 26, "And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Notice there, the storm comes to the prepared and the unprepared. Storms are going to come in our lives, whether we're ready for them or not. I've said it my entire preaching career, and I've heard it my whole life. You're either going into a storm, you're currently in one, or you're leaving one. That is the Christian life. That's why we've got to always be ready. But I thank God, if we will remember these things, we will be able, come what may, to have serenity and to have stability, not in ourselves, but in God and His Word. That's why, before the trouble ever comes, we have got to get in it and study it and learn of who He is, what He's done for us, what we have in Him, how He wants to use us. And then when times of trouble, we'll be like those godly kings of old. We'll turn to God in prayer, and we'll have peace, and we'll have joy, and we'll be able to stand firm and be a light for God when we shouldn't. See, that's when we shine the brightest, is when things are the darkest in our lives. But the lost world notices. May God help us to remember these things so that when trouble strikes, we will be a great witness, great example for Him. If everyone please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I thank you so much for your kind attention tonight. I hope this scripture has encouraged you as it has encouraged me. Tonight the altar's open. I don't want to leave here without giving anybody an opportunity to come pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been like me so many times. You're not in the Word as you should be. You're not praying as you should be. But you want to come ask God to forgive you of that and empower you and help you to do that so that you can prepare yourself for those troubles. I thank God the Bible says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll just confess it, agree with God about it. And maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening or in the parking lot, and you're in that storm right now, and you don't see any way out. The Lord just wants you to turn to Him. If you'll turn to Him, He will run to you, just as Pastor Daniel said this morning. You draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. You take a step toward Him, He will take a step toward you. I thank God for that. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity tonight to preach Your Word. Thank You for the truths of Your Word. May You help me and this congregation, those listening in the parking lot, those online. May You help us to hide this in our hearts, so that when trouble strikes, we will remember these things, turn to You, and we will have serenity and stability in You and Your Word, and be a great godly witness for You. I know that's what You want. Lord Jesus, we love You. I thank You for this church. I thank You for bringing me here. And Lord, I can't wait to see what You're going to do in the future. We love you, Jesus. And I pray you'd be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.